Hey, what's going on? Hope you are well and are having a good week as always. So on this episode of the Welcome to the Metaverse podcast, I thought I'd do another Metaverse news roundup. I like to do these every 6 weeks or so just to give you a kind of bite-sized episode to get all the latest news in one place easily. It's a space that moves very quickly, as you probably know by now, so hopefully useful just to have it all in one episode. Thank you so much for your ratings and your reviews of the show. Really appreciate your support. I read all the reviews on Apple. So thank you so much for those, and you can rate now on Spotify as well if you've been enjoying the show recently. Lots of interesting news to dive into this week, some major global brands making moves in the metaverse, and some less covered stories as well, which I think you find really interesting towards the end of the episode. Before we do get stuck into the episode though, this podcast is sponsored by the awesome Every Realm, previously Republic Realm, who are a leader in metaverse innovation, investment and NFTs. They are among the largest owners of digital real estate NFTs in Decentraland, the Sandbox, and Axie Infinity, to name just a few. They also recently dropped their collection of GFTs in partnership with Atari, one of the world's most iconic brands. It's a collection designed for gifting, or of course you can keep your GFT for yourself. And they recently produced the first ever Metaverse Fashion Week event, and some of the exclusive digital pieces are available to buy. I'll pop all the links in the show notes. You can find out more about what they're up to at everyrealm.com, or follow on Twitter at everyrealm, where you'll find a link to their Discord too. Finally, as always, nothing in this episode is financial or investment advice. Always do your own research. Alright, so let's dive into the first news story of this week. Now, this is all to do with Disney, who we've heard mention various sort of things about the metaverse, but quite cryptically, and haven't really committed to anything just yet. Although recently this week, the CEO did publicly state that they have appointed a leader for their metaverse strategy. Now, The Verge have a great article about this and are the source, so I'll link that in the show notes. But the appointment was Mike White, who was the Senior Vice President of Consumer Experiences and Platforms previously, and now will be the Senior Vice President of Next Generation Storytelling and Consumer Experiences, which I think is a much cooler title. So interesting that they've sort of finally committed. Obviously, they're thinking about this. Obviously, it makes sense for them to be involved in a big way. And I've kind of made this point before about the metaverse not just being a 3D version of the internet, but a completely different platform and medium, which will likely have its own bespoke style of content as well. I think that will be obviously more immersive content and will be a completely new genre. So a lot like how we had radio first and then TV arrived, and the first content of which on TV was just radio shows with pictures because nobody really understood the medium and what exactly that was. Then YouTube kind of arrived later on, and we had this sort of online short form content, this new style, this new genre of content. And you know, initially when YouTube first arrived, people tried to make TV shows on YouTube, but it didn't really work, and instead it developed its own kind of native style. So I think you have different expectations when you choose to watch something like YouTube instead of TV, and they serve different purposes. And I think that will happen likely again with metaverse experiences as well. So obviously, as I say, most likely more immersive and more gamified than ever, but at the core will always be amazing stories, and Disney are undoubtedly probably the best at creating amazing stories and content around that. So the CEO also said, and just sort of paraphrasing this generally, I believe this, the metaverse, is the next great storytelling frontier and a perfect place to pursue our strategic pillars of storytelling excellence, innovation, and audience focus. So, you know, more than anything, those statements sort of give this whole space another stamp of credibility. Obviously, we are not fully functional when it's a lot of it's being built, but to see people and companies of this caliber really commit to, you know, this being the future is always good to see. And interestingly as well, something I didn't know for a long time with Disney specifically is that apart from the massive, you know, major home run blockbuster movies that we all know, most Disney films don't make their money from cinema ticket sales or movie rentals, but actually from the merchandise of the film. So a lot of the, you know, physical toys and merchandise after these films is often where the big money is made. So I would bet heavily that Disney are looking at the opportunity of digital merchandise of characters and wearables and upgradable utility, as if you were buying a toy in the real world, but much easier to kind of pull off in the digital world. That's probably one of the biggest global opportunities they've ever had. And we've seen that model be very successful through, you know, IP in Fortnite and selling skins tokens and digital items that we've talked about a lot, but also for Disney to build potentially their own metaverse experiences and monetize that directly could get very interesting indeed. So obviously they know how to build fun entertainment off the back of their existing IP, probably better than anyone in the world. So whatever the sort of metaverse version of Disneyland is no doubt going to be pretty epic. But I think the most interesting question is whether they will try to kind of gate it themselves. Are they going to create an entire virtual world that is Disney only and you have to enter that and it's a walled garden that they own with all their IP? Or are they going to plug into, you know, blockchain open worlds somewhere like the sandbox? Do they stand more to gain from being part of the bigger open system that everything's built on Ethereum and the blockchain and having a big presence in somewhere like the sandbox and other worlds? Or do they create their own world and pull people there? They certainly have got the power to do that if they want to. So we will see. Time will tell. From the theme park angle, at least, interestingly, we saw a big partnership recently between Ocean Park, who are the second biggest theme park in Hong Kong after Disneyland, and the sandbox. They are creating some sort of theme park experience inside the sandbox, so everything is kind of up for the taking at this stage with you know, Web3 and the metaverse. I think what brands are beginning to realize is the worst thing they can do is not participate at all. So interesting story, well covered obviously, but good to see that they are really moving in this space, and we will continue to follow it as the weeks go on. All right, on to story number two then, and another of the world's biggest brands, a story that was well shared but also sort of laughed at, and I think there's actually something much more interesting going on. So this being that McDonald's have filed 10 trademark applications indicating its plans to offer a virtual restaurant featuring actual and virtual goods and operating a virtual restaurant featuring home delivery, as well as lots of other trademark things as well. Now obviously most people's initial reaction to this was, this sounds kind of stupid, you can't eat in the metaverse, obviously, what's their kind of model here, which I think is really valid. But also I think it's an example of the way that humans usually think when we talk about a completely new medium and those things of trying to kind of replicate the old model and plonk it into the new technology that doesn't really work. I mean, just a 3D McDonald's would be a bit pointless, obviously, when their main product is physical food that you wouldn't be able to eat. But I think there's probably a few different things going on here that are a bit more interesting. So the first one they mentioned there being simply that you'll likely be able to order McDonald's in the metaverse to arrive physically at your house, meaning that you won't need to exit the metaverse to order your food, which is kind of interesting. It's quite obvious, but just in terms of streamlining that experience, it makes sense for them to have a presence in the metaverse. So you can kind of wander in, order your food, it arrives to your house, and you spend longer in those worlds. But I think the smarter way to think about it is that a brand as big as McDonald's are, you know, almost bigger than the food themselves. They're synonymous with kind of quick, reliable service of a certain standard. That's why you go to McDonald's over somewhere else. So in the physical world, that's fast food. But in the metaverse, that could be quick, reliable anything. Maybe it's fast gigs, which was another one of their trademarks they registered for as well. I'm not sure how they'll quite protect that sort of thing, but we'll find out. You know, maybe you go to McDonald's in the metaverse to see an artist play a one-off song live or whatever that might be. It's kind of totally up to them to bring their brand into the metaverse, which is interesting. Similarly, just as kids love going to McDonald's for the Happy Meal and getting the toy, in the metaverse, maybe it's just the sort of core unboxing of a fun digital collectible or toy. We've mentioned a project before called Cryptoys, which you might remember from a few shows ago, which is exactly that, digital toys that you don't know what you get until you open them, which will be for kids, but also they will exist in the metaverse as well. So I think there's interesting things going on there, you know, that are beyond maybe the obvious. And they can also do interesting things that aren't possible in physical stores, like have a celebrity serve you as their avatar or turn the store into a mini theme park or whatever it might be. So thinking a bit more broadly and a bit more metaverse first, it sounds like a more exciting play than maybe people initially thought. And to that point, I think brands that will be successful in the metaverse will be the ones that don't just try to replicate their physical model, but instead think natively metaverse first and about how they will bring their brand in and what they're known for in the metaverse in an immersive way. So I think that'll get really interesting. And even though the metaverse feels kind of intangible at the minute, it exists, but it's, you know, being built and it's early and it's clunky. The same was very true of early internet sites and clunky websites in 1995, but pretty quickly it flipped to being, you know, an essential way to enhance a customer's experience online, and every brand needing a website, and then obviously the rest is history. So I think we're seeing that again in time. So yeah, quite interesting there. All right, on to the next story, which may be slightly less covered than McDonald's and Disney, but still a really huge deal and something really, really interesting going on. So this was the announcement of the first ever metaverse stylist for Roblox. So Gemma Shepherd is a very well-known and respected stylist to the stars in the physical world and has been appointed as Roblox metaverse stylist. Now, I did a full episode about digital fashion and this huge movement that is coming out with Kerry Murphy, who is the CEO of digital fashion house Fabricant, which I definitely recommend listening to if you want to dive in deeper on what is happening more broadly in this space. I think digital fashion is about to absolutely explode. But in Roblox alone, we know that over $1 billion a year is spent via their in-game currency, Robux, on in-game items and digital fashion items for avatars. So Roblox users, you know, really care about expressing themselves in that way for exactly the same reasons that we buy stylish clothes or clothes by brands we like in the physical world. Generally, Gen Z on Roblox are doing the same for their digital avatars. So there was the famous story of the official digital Gucci bag selling for more in Roblox than the identical physical bag in the real world. And lots of huge fashion brands have explored this area and are beginning to get involved. Famously, Adidas, Nike, Dolce & Gabbana, Burberry, H&M, the list goes on and on. So really interesting area. And Gemma Shepherd, the Roblox stylist, will supply in-game styling to consumers' digital identities via virtual try-ons, lookbooks, and personal styling showrooms. So it might sound like a wild alien concept at first, but it makes perfect sense when you realize Roblox has over 40 million users per day and digital fashion has zero physical waste. So it's a pretty compelling and sort of forward-thinking move from Roblox that I think will be very, very successful. And it also speaks to the wider idea of the metaverse not only being a place to, you know, sell products, but also generating a whole new economy of services as well. So digital fashion stylists being one example of that, but no doubt we'll see, you know, metaverse interior designers and architects and hospitality and all these things that will exist as services in the digital world, not just products as well. So definitely a cool move by Roblox and an area that I think will be very, very interesting to follow. All right, the next story, still on the topic of services within the metaverse, we also saw some big announcements from JP Morgan, the largest bank in the US, stating that the metaverse is a $1 trillion a year opportunity. Now, CoinDesk have a great article, which is the source for this, so I'll link that in the show notes. But the bank unveiled their Onyx Lounge in Decentraland, which refers to their suite of permissioned Ethereum-based services. So interesting to see them be progressive as a bank in this space, and maybe initially counterintuitively in Decentraland, built on a decentralized protocol on Ethereum, obviously, where money changes hands without a bank. But they had some really interesting points around the future of services in the metaverse. So things like credit, mortgages, and rental agreements of digital property and their kind of expertise there. Someone's going to need to manage some of those things. So as well as just a general presence in a world that ultimately their customers will be spending increasing amounts of time in. So I thought it's a really interesting development there for sure. And another real stamp of approval and also, you know, investment into this space. So joining all the dots, it just starts to get very, very interesting indeed. And then the last story that I wanted to dive into was about the world's first real life NFT luxury mansion that you can live inside in the real world. So essentially, there is an NFT home that is going up for auction that is currently also being built in the real physical world. So it's a joint venture between an NFT firm called Meta Residence, who've just partnered with The Sandbox, where the virtual house will exist, and also a partnership with the premier brokerage company One Sotheby's International Realty, who build high-end luxury real-life physical homes. Their website will make you jealous immediately. I'd recommend not going on it because the houses are ridiculously nice on there. But interesting collaboration, and the NFT will go up for auction later this year, and then the winner will own it both in the sandbox and in actual real life, which is quite crazy to see. And I don't know whether it was a sort of clever afterthought that they kind of added on the metaverse play afterwards, or whether this was a, you know, concept that was deliberately came together like this. Who knows? Cool concept either way. The owner then obviously will be able to throw not only parties in their amazing mansion, but also metaverse parties in the virtual version, and, you know, no doubt it'll be exclusive in both worlds and maybe home to some really cool events in the sandbox as well. And we've seen a similar type of thing with kind of museums building digital versions as an extension of their existence in the physical world. I think the most interesting use cases, as I've said before, won't be sort of direct replicas of things in the physical world. But if they use the virtual property in unique ways, then, you know, maybe the sort of global access to the metaverse venue will make, you know, that digital venue even more sought after. If interesting people are going to parties in these digital virtual spaces, similar to how Snoop Dogg is throwing parties in the sandbox as well, then maybe that will even be more sought after than a party in a physical world where obviously you can have very few people and the access to that physical real estate is much harder to get. So interesting. We'll see what happens there. But another quite wild story that, they seem to not be stopping anytime soon of what is happening in the metaverse as 2022 just carries on kind of increasing attention and mainstream focus. And a lot of brands are starting to realize they will need their play in the metaverse in some form. So we'll leave it there for now for this week. But if you want to keep up to date with metaverse news in general and also the NFT drops that I'm watching closely, you can head over to the newsletter metaverseluke.substack.com. I do reach out on Twitter as well. Always love to chat to you and hear from you over there at metaverseluke on Twitter. I'll leave all the links in the show notes. Thank you to EveryRealm for sponsoring the show as well. Make sure you follow them at EveryRealm on Twitter, everyrealm.com as well. Thank you for your support. Always really appreciate it. I'll be back next week with another episode. So have a great rest of your week and I'll see you then.